she inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. This is Gina Murphy Darling, and you are listening to Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative place where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Thanks so much for joining us. And thanks to one of our tried and true and great partners, the Fairfax Companies. They are outstanding leaders in the business of sustainability on every level imaginable. For more information and to learn more about what they do, the great services they provide, the products they sell, including the highest grade organic compost that money can buy, check them out at thefairfaxcompanies.com. They really have helped my show, Mrs. Green's Movement, so much, and I'd love our listeners to support them. So everybody, take a deep breath and get ready to go a little bit deeper, and it's no pun intended, but we're going to talk about keeping the dolphins free. I admit that it's a very emotional issue for me, and my personal beliefs are that no dolphin should ever be held in captivity, and that's very personal. And I guess I would love to ask, how can anyone not want to keep the dolphins free once you learn about them as the amazing creatures of the water and the deep that they are? So for the next hour, I'm going to be speaking with two people who do know a lot about it, who have made it their mission to educate and inform people about this very important and, as I said, sometimes emotional issue. Please join me in welcoming Danielle Riley, organizer advocate for Dolphin Free Arizona, and Anna Kiley, science teacher and former dolphin trainer, also part of Dolphin Free AZ. Women of the world, thank you so much for being on the Mrs. Green's World Show and for being willing to share your important story with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, pretty thrilled here. As you know, we've talked a couple of times, and I think it's amazing what you're doing. So let's start with what's going on. What are the issues about keeping Arizona dolphin free, and how did Dolphin Free Arizona come about in the first place? Give us some history.
So Dolphin Free Arizona, we have over 1,000 followers right now, and it wasn't until a few months ago that we even began to understand that this dolphinarium was being built on the Salt River Pima land. And so once the public was informed, a lot of community officials and representatives kind of collaborated together to put together this organization, if you will, of people wanting to protest having dolphins in Arizona. And from there, we kind of just started setting up demonstrations. Usually they're about once a month. And we started contacting officials that we thought could help aid us in our mission. And that's basically what we're trying to do right now, is to educate and inform the public about what is happening, and to get some transparency as well as, you know, just the knowledge out there to the public.
And Anna, do you want to add anything to that? Because I know your voices. That was Danielle, so I know who's speaking. And it doesn't matter, because the message is what's more important. But is there any part you want to add to that, Anna?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having us on. We're, of course, very passionate about the subject and hope that we can get as many people to really understand what's going on as we can. This organization, Dolphinaris, which is being built and set to open soon here in Arizona, really did become, it was kind of an underground organization for a while. Nobody knew about it. And so our goal is really to make sure that people understand what the implications of having dolphins in captivity, especially in Arizona, really is. And our money as people attending or not attending their organization is really what we can hope to count on. And if we can convince people to not attend and not to buy a ticket, then we can hopefully begin to make a difference starting there.
So let me just clarify, at this point, it's going forward. It's game on, and they're going to open it, and they're going to bring dolphins to play tricks for people and watch these amazing intelligent creatures be there for our amusement. Is that correct? It's just going to go forward?
That's correct. This is Danielle speaking. And the dolphins actually have already arrived, several of them. They're still waiting on some others, as far as I know. But just as recent as last Monday, FedEx had delivered some dolphins from Hawaii. And so the Dolphin Forest is planned to open on October 15th. And they and we will be out there protesting.
And if you've ever had the time to observe a dolphin, if you're blessed enough to have gone to see them, you know, in their natural environment, or even if you've watched them on specials from National Geographic or anything about ocean life, they are just amazing, joyous, intelligent creatures. Tell us a little bit about what you know about dolphins.
Sure. So one of the things that I want to touch on as well is, you know, that Dolphinaris has claimed or suggested that they're aiding in conservation and educating the public. So the interesting thing is that if a child is able to see a dolphin out in its natural environment, these animals have pods that they swim with, that they're jumping in the ocean with, that they really rely on. And conservation typically works when endangered animals are bred and re-released into the wild. Well, bottlenose dolphins, which are the species that are being brought into the Dolphinaris, are not endangered. So removing them to live in captivity doesn't even address the environmental issues or provide education to the children. These are extremely intelligent mammals with brains that are bigger than our own. So, for instance, dolphins' brains, like humans, were found to contain von Economo neurons, which are specialized cells that relate to higher notions like empathy, intuition, communication, self-awareness. These are all things that we have. And so to put these animals into a confined tank is just brutality. I mean, it's simple. It's really awful, and it's horrendous that we as a society are regressing by putting these animals into confined tanks so that we can enjoy them for an hour to swim with.
It's abusive. I mean, it's abusive, in my opinion. They are intelligent. They are sensitive. I have seen documentaries where when they are separated from their families, they suffer greatly. I mean, they're very much capable of that. They stay with their families, and the research supports it. So I guess I want to ask both of you, are there not some ethical, moral, important marine conservation organizations that really do care, and they're not having us in to watch the dolphins play tricks? Tell us about the difference between a marine conservation organization and one that's doing it for profit, for sheer entertainment.
Definitely. Cool. I could take a moment and talk a little bit about that specifically. So just recently, the National Aquarium at Baltimore has decided that they will be building a seaside sanctuary for their population of bottlenose dolphins, which is a huge step in the right direction to at least have their animals be in their natural environment, as natural as it could be, still under human care, but at least able to be feel the ocean tides and see the ocean life that comes through and have more semblance of a normal life than they do in a concrete tank. And so there are organizations, even with dolphins, that are really working toward a more natural environment for them and encouraging conservation messages and what really is supposed to be important. But like Danielle said, bottlenose dolphins are very common in the wild, and they're quite easy, if you will, to witness. If you take a trip to Florida or San Diego or really most of our seaside communities, they're quite common and easy to see in their natural environment. And there are plenty of zoos and organizations that do spread that conservation message that don't have people getting in the water with dolphins in a very artificial environment, and that don't have people riding on their backs or holding onto their dorsal fins for a pull around the pool. Those things really are not conservation or education messages. They are exploiting the animals for our own personal entertainment.
They're just not a toy. That's what I keep thinking about. They're not a toy that you teach tricks to. And I want to just add, I'm on the board of Sado International, and it's an intercultural center for the study of deserts and oceans. And one of our biggest issues is preserving the vaquita, which is a mm-hmm. dolphin that's on the high list on the endangered species list. And I'm sad to say that I think it will probably become extinct in my lifetime, which I hope is quite a while. But the board, we live and strive to bring people together to make sure that they are preserved in their own environment. We're not capturing them so that we can preserve the species. Every effort of this board and other organizations are working to do what I think is the right thing, and it's keep them where they are and hopefully see, you know, an increase in their numbers. It's just that's not counterintuitive. And the other piece is, what about Danielle, in terms of the protesting, who's getting the who are you getting attention? Who's watching? To me, it's like I said to you, this is a national show for Mrs. Green's World, because I think everybody in the world needs to listen to what's going on. What are you finding in terms of interest from groups around the country, around the world, supporting you to protest this?
Sure. So we have a lot of media outlets that we, you know, reach out to each protest, and we typically have 1 to 2 spokespeople come out for the news stations and interview. The issue is that a lot of times with news stations, they need to play, you know, they need to bring out both sides. And so we found with some of the news stations that they tend to side with the dolphinarius. And this isn't always the case, but it has happened. And for those reasons, we are not aware of. Some of the, as far as like international, we've had a lot of support from Rick O'Berry's Dolphin Project. So he is a former dolphin trainer who trained Flipper for the movie.
Okay.
And since then, came out and has become a huge advocate for dolphins and spends his entire life dedicating his time to giving education to the public, as well as spending time in Taiji, Japan, where these dolphins are brutally murdered and separated from their pods and taken for captive reasons. So we have him as a support, a large support, and, you know, just local stations that are coming out to our protests and demonstrations.
Let me ask you about, Anna, I think you have some experience, and I think we should talk about it briefly, about your involvement with the Phoenix Zoo. There hasn't been a lot of forthcoming, you know, like there's something that's a little bit shady about this. I don't know exactly what words to use. I don't like to bash anyone, but there have been a lot of things written about Gray Stratford and what are your concerns about his involvement with the Wildlife World Zoo, which he managed, and now here he shows up as manager of Dolphinarius. Can you just speak to that a little bit?
Thank you for asking about that.
We need to talk about it. It's the truth.
We do.
We really do.
Absolutely. We do. So after I left my job as a dolphin trainer, when I came to terms with the fact that what I was participating in was abusive, just by their presence in captivity, in my opinion, is abuse, and I don't think that it's anything I could be part of anymore. So I kind of went through a big period of time of cognitive dissonance and a lot of heartache and realization that my whole worldview had to shift. And so when I decided to leave, I went back to school to become a teacher. And while I was studying, I worked at the Phoenix Zoo in their education department. And the Phoenix Zoo is one of the largest nonprofit zoos in the country. And their involvement with conservation is really commendable. And the way that they house their animals and display them is as natural as can be, still in a captive environment. And their participation in global conservation really is what drives that organization. So while working there, I became more knowledgeable about our other zoo here in Arizona, which does not do any of those same things, and that's the Wildlife World Zoo. The Wildlife World Zoo is a non-AZA accredited facility. AZA is the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, but rather they are accredited through their own organization called the Zoological Association of America. And if I could, I would like to read their mission statement. The Zoological Association of America's mission is to protect and defend the right to own exotic and domestic animals, both privately and publicly.
You are kidding. Read it again.
In contrast.
Read it again.
Yeah,
read
absolutely.
It again.
Their mission statement. The Zoological Association of America is to protect and defend the right to own exotic and domestic animals, both privately and publicly. Mm. In contrast, the mission statement of the AZA, or the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, which the Phoenix Zoo is accredited as our most reputable zoos, they provide members the services, high standards, and best practices needed to be leaders and innovators in animal care, wildlife conservation and science, conservation education, guest experience, and community engagement. So that right there is a pretty sharp contrast to the mission of the organization, which the Wildlife World Zoo is accredited. And the reason that this is important is because the Wildlife World Zoo's former conservation director is Dr. Gray Stafford. Dr. Gray Stafford is now the general manager of Dolphinaris. He is also the president of the International Marine Animal Trainers Association, IMATA, which is an organization that, of course, represents marine animal trainers. And so Gray Stafford's background of working for a zoo, which is not only non-AZA accredited, but also sold a tiger cub to a roadside zoo in Pennsylvania. They sold 5 New Guinea singing dogs to a roadside zoo in Oklahoma, both of which roadside zoos have been repeatedly cited by the USDA for failing to provide animals with veterinary care. And all of this is extremely concerning to me, that he will now be the general manager of Dolphinaris and hide behind this guise of conservation and education when clearly that's not his primary motivation, or he wouldn't have even been affiliated with a zoo like the Wildlife World Zoo.
You know, sometimes I do shows and I feel like I've been kicked in the stomach and I have to like do deep breathing so I don't lose it on the show. And this is one of those times where it's not just an emotional reaction, it's an intelligent reaction, it's a gut reaction that you can't control. And, we're coming up close on a break. We have a couple of minutes. But what I'd like you to think about in the 30-second breaks that we take is, what's it going to take to really get this to the level where we might be able to stop it? Is that even possible? And what I'm thinking about as you're talking, both of you, is how we as a country really do care about our animals. I mean, somebody told me that the Arizona Community Foundation, some significant percent of their donor advised funds at the foundation are for the care of animals. And I mean, mostly it's our dogs and our cats, but it's still hundreds of millions of dollars that people put to it. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And people are crazy about animals. How do we go on and connect people with that inner reaction? As human beings, you have a natural reaction to want to protect dogs and cats and wounded critters, even sometimes if you're not as concerned about child abuse. And that's very sad, but it's true. So before we go to break, let's start a little bit on it and then talk about both of your passions are clearly in the direction of protection. What do you think the disconnect is with people and this not, you know, taking it on?
So I think, this is Danielle speaking, I think that it's just lack of education and knowledge. If you talk to people that, you know, claim to want to swim with dolphins, they claim that they love them, you know, and I don't think that they understand the detriment that is caused by having these intelligent animals put into captivity for our entertainment.
Okay, Anna, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. I think that also, you're right, we need to find a way to connect people without it being at the expense of the animals that we're trying to connect with. And there are places that people can go and see dolphins specifically in their natural environments. especially bottlenose dolphins. It's not difficult for people to do. But for some, that's not a reality for them. They don't have the funds necessary, or they're not able to do that. But we have such incredible access to technology nowadays. IMAX films and visual tours, virtual reality.
Okay, we have to. This is the short break I told you about. When we come back, we'll finish that conversation and talk more a little about the location itself and what's going on there. Everybody, stay here with me. More about Keep the Dolphins Free.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. So fortunate to have with us for this hour two individuals who are making a difference in our world in a way that takes courage and tenacity and a great deal of knowledge. I am so pleased to have as our guest Danielle Riley, organizer, advocate for Dolphin Free AZ, and Anna Kiley, science teacher and former dolphin trainer. They are both working with Dolphin Free AZ. And let's go back for a minute, because I think that I missed a very important piece in not asking you both to explain what is Dolphinarius and what got you upset in the first place. Tell us about the complex, its origins, and what's going on there so that our listeners know. I assume too much. What is it, and what's the big hoopla about? Shame on me.
Sure. This is Danielle. And, you know, so Dolphinarius is simply a swim with dolphin program. So there's three levels that I believe that you can come in and experience being with dolphins, either on land or you can be in the water with them. So the reason why we're protesting is because these animals are cognitive thinkers and have high emotional intelligence. Also, we feel that there isn't enough transparency that has happened in the community as far as the development of this business. And to touch on that, you know, Odyssey Aquarium, which is right next door in the same parking lot as Dolphinarius, they have announced through several public channels, including social media, that the facility would not be displaying captive whales or dolphins. They have acknowledged the controversy surrounding it. They have stated, and this is a quote from them, you need larger facilities for that, and there's a lot of controversy, and there's no need. However, their Facebook page and their, you know, outlets are basically owned and operated by the same two entities, which are Ventura Entertainment and the Odyssey Aquarium and project developer Northern Gateway. So despite their claims that there's no affiliation with Dolphinarius, there clearly is. And I think that that's where Dolphin Free AZ kind of comes in to address the community and public concern of the lack of transparency involving these animals and this business.
It's kind of like they snuck in after the dark of night. I mean, I'm getting to be a conspiracy theorist at times. And what about is there anything that you want to say? I know that we don't in any way want to attack the tribe or give any notion of disappointment with them, but is there a conflict that it is on Indian land? I mean, I have interviewed so many native people who care so deeply about every living creature, about nature. Is there anything there that you care to comment on? Like I said, I don't want to put you on the spot, but it is an obvious question.
Sure. Well, the Salt River Pima Indian Land is its own entity, and so they are able to do any development without getting the public approval. And so that's basically why we're concerned, is because we feel that Odyssey and Dolphinarius basically chose this spot for the sole fact that there would be this lack of transparency and awareness to the public for the controversial issues that surround it. And so we have tried to reach out to the Salt River Pima tribe, and we have had no response. And, you know, that's basically all I can really comment on as far as, you know, with the Indian land.
And it's disappointing, and I would think, like I said, it to me sounds counterintuitive. The Native people are so aware of life coming from the earth and honoring all of the creatures. I wish you luck. Maybe this show will help get their attention and you'll get a call back. One could only hope. What about the, and it's so clever to me, on the part of Dolphinaris, that they're, of course they pick there because they don't have to go through any of the approval process, which is disappointing and very sad. Anna, is there anything you want to add to that?
I do want to just touch on a little bit, beyond our disapproval of dolphins in captivity in general, we're also specifically horrified by the fact that this captivity would take place in Arizona. For anyone who hasn't been here before, we have an extreme climate. In the summer, it's upwards of 115 degrees. In the winter, we get below freezing. Both of these are not natural situations for a bottlenose dolphin to find itself in.
Yeah, or we'd have dolphins. We'd have dolphins.
Right.
They're not an indigenous species to the Sonoran Desert.
Absolutely not. And we have other problems as well. Dust storms in the air, which, of course, dolphins breathe air just like we do, and they don't have a method or a means to keep dust out of the air. They advertise, Dolphinaris, on their website that they have state-of-the-art filtration systems that, you know, filter the water out every day, but that doesn't do anything about the air. And we have valley fever that's airborne in our environment, and pollution from the freeway, which is right next door. So beyond just the fact of dolphins being held in concrete pools when they're echolocating species, which is horrifying enough in itself, to put them in a situation like Arizona where we have dry air and extreme climate is just absolutely abusive.
It's hard to keep my my focus on this show because the emotions absolutely take over. Mm-hmm. I'd like both of you to talk to me about what kind of response you've gotten from family and friends and colleagues. Are they aware of the issue? Do they think it's much ado about nothing? Are they shocked and appalled? What has been your own personal reactions as you take on this very big task of trying to not have something horrible happen? What are people saying?
Anna, do you want to touch on it first?
Yeah, I will. This has been quite the transformation for me coming as a former dolphin trainer. The only thing I ever wanted to do in my life since I was 3 years old was to be a dolphin trainer, and I worked very hard to get there. And so to finally reach my goal, only to start to see the realities of it and that start to eat away with me, and to finally the point where I decided that I couldn't support it anymore. Really, of course, has taken my family and friends on quite the journey as well, because
yes,
they were very supportive.
And really up close and personal.
Yeah, supportive of me and of the mission. And I very much believed in the conservation message when I first started. It wasn't until I really allowed myself to appreciate the day-to-day, mundane, sad life and existence of dolphins in captivity that I was able to finally realize that it was something I couldn't support. And then after that, it took me an additional few years before I felt comfortable really sharing with other people how strongly I felt about it. And so it's been a challenge. I have had certainly a lot of people supportive, my family, close friends, but I've had backlash from former colleagues that I worked with who, you know, think it's hypocritical of me and still very firmly believe in their right and role to do what they do. The hard part is, of course, dolphin trainers care very deeply about the animals in their care. And so whenever someone speaks out against dolphin captivity, animal trainers and zoological organizations, they come back with, no one loves them more than us. And I don't doubt that. I saw the love and the care that trainers try to provide for the animals. But at the end of the day, there's only so much we can do. And we're not dolphins. And we can't anthropomorphize them and act like we have this shared love for each other, because we're not dolphins. And we, when we're in the position of being the ones to feed them and to care for them, of course that naturally puts us in a position of power. And I don't think that that's the way that the thing should proceed. So I've had, I would say, some people that feel strongly in zoos and aquariums and that will continue to bring their children there and think it's wonderful that we have dolphins coming to Arizona. But the majority of people are really coming around to understanding how detrimental it is to them and what a profound role we have to teach children the real lives of these animals and not in an artificial environment.
And Anna, I love it for you to, if you don't mind, just talking a little bit about your journey to the realization that here you are, a kid of 3 years old, your dream was so well intended. 3 years old, pretty much have well intended dreams. So you wanted to be with them. I mean, what a joyous feeling of swimming with the dolphins. I got to experience pink dolphins deep in the rainforest in Peru. And I'll never forget it. It was beyond any Kodak moment. It was emotional. It stays with you because there's a magic about these creatures. What happened for you that started the transformation from, yes, I love these creatures, I want to be swimming with them, I want to do this, to get you to where you are today, which is, if I want to swim with dolphins, I need to go out in the ocean and find some.
Oh, it was so many things. I think that watching the transport of dolphins from one area to another, which my former employer was only, less than a mile from when they were transferred, whereas the animals that are coming here from Hawaii were shipped on a FedEx airplane. But
just that
watching,
you just don't get your dolphins on FedEx. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
It's heinous to me. I don't even think about the transport. I never thought about it. Yeah, I'm going to ship a dolphin today. It's just awful. It's like, go ahead. That's
right,
my
so
little
their,
rant.
Their pools are lowered to inches of water. They have grown men jump on and pin down the animals so they can force them into a sling because they're terrified and they would never do that willingly. They're hoisted out of the pool on a stretcher and placed on the back of a truck and either onto an airplane or continue on a truck. They have the full weight of gravity on their bodies. Dolphins aren't designed to be out of the water, especially for a long period of time. It's traumatic for them. And then when they get to where they're going to be for however long the organization keeps them there, they're dumped into a pool that they've never been in before with animals that they probably have never met. I mean, it would be like somebody forcing you to get onto a bus and drop you off in a country you've never been to with people you've never met. No way to communicate with them because dolphins have their own communication systems within their own family. And I think that was the event for me that was the tip of the iceberg, the straw that broke the camel's back. That was the moment where I said, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore.
So it of course brings up to me the whole idea of what we did to human beings, and they were called slave ships, and how just appalling that seems to most consciously human beings in this day and age, and I underline consciously living human beings, that heinous, dark period in our history. And to me, I mean, I had this wonderful man on the show from a town that was devastated by a tornado. And I'll never forget the interview. It was over 8 years ago, and he was a very religious person, mayor, wonderful, visionary. And he said that in the Bible, it says that we have a responsibility to be good stewards of the earth. So whatever your beliefs are, this is a human responsibility to take care of the creatures that can't defend themselves. I sound like I'm going a little bit off the edge here, guys, but I can't help it. I knew this is what was going to happen. So, Anna, thank you for that. I mean, you saw it up close and personally. And I'd like both of you to respond to, what about people that are listening and saying, well, that's all well and good, but it's not in my budget to come from Arizona to go to Coronado or San Diego or anywhere on the East or West Coast to swim with dolphins. What, how do you respond to that? Because I know I have very strong feelings about that, but let you two go first.
Sure, this is Danielle. And, you know, the great thing about this day and age is technology. And so there are tons of websites that you can go on, visual tours that are provided so that children and adults can receive that sort of experience from your own home. And so that's really where I lead people. If you want to have this experience and you're not able to, you know, drive 5 hours to California or hop on a plane to Florida or to go to, you know, any local place, then I think that getting the education just from the seat of your own home and being able to experience these visual tours would be a really excellent way to see the way that these animals live their lives out into the in the ocean.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think drones are going to be such a great way as that technology continues to develop, because it's really non-invasive to the animals. And so I really think that that direction that they're headed, to be able to fly over these pods of sometimes thousands of dolphins that join together and watch their joyous, apparent joy, jumping and swimming with one another, and what we can perceive as playing, all of those things are going to be accessible to us without even interfering with the dolphins' habitat or their behavior or their lives. And as part of that, I don't necessarily think that somebody has to see an animal in real life face-to-face to appreciate, understand, and care for them. There's certainly thousands of species that I will never in my lifetime witness, but I still can hold a message of importance for them and care for the, be a steward of the environment myself, so that I can ensure that my role in this world is to make it as much of a better place as I can.
And it speaks volumes about our consciousness, because I feel the same way. I really want to see orangutans. I really want to see gorillas, like Jane Goodall. When I had her on the show, it's like, what would it be like to have one day in the journey that she's had? But that's not our right. It's not right. It's not a given right. It's something that if you are going to see an orangutan in a zoo behind bars, literally behind bars, what are you experiencing? I mean, it just, it's not really the experience of seeing them, where they live, how they interact. It's just a, you know, a fake backdrop to the experience. And why do we feel as though that's okay? I'm not quite sure. Danielle, what about, you know a lot about this topic. Talk about the life expectancy. Does it in any way impact the life expectancy of a dolphin in the wild versus in captivity?
Sure. So dolphin species play a big role as far as, you know, determining how long that they live. But the research reports that dolphins that dolphins live substantially fewer years in captivity. And, you know, despite being in a protected environment and well cared for, these factors such as, you know, diet, closed environment, lack of strong social structure, they all contribute to shorter lifespans of captive dolphins. So again, depending on the species, it varies, but there is plenty of research that supports that it's much fewer years spent in captivity.
So it's literally taking the life out of them. Okay, what about...
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just am in agreement, yes.
I mean, it's just, I just think about it. They're constantly under stress. I've never been inside the mind of a dolphin, but I would think that they are sad. And I know that I have seen some documentaries that say there is depression, and it's unconscionable to me to see that we would have somebody be stressed out and get joy, and we need to do a better job in teaching our children. So when we come back, I'd like to focus a little bit more on how you started the campaign, and I mean literally, where does one begin to start a protest for a dolphin-free AZ? And what kinds of things can people do? What are some of the call to actions? And if we have time, I'd love to know what some of the reactions are from our elected official. Has the governor weighed in? Has the mayor of Phoenix or any other elected officials come on to take an issue with this either way? So we've got lots more to cover. And then anything else that you all might want to add, because I think this is a really important topic that leads to so many other things when it comes to the world of preserving the species on our planet. It matters a lot. Everybody stay with me. More from Danielle Riley and Anna Kiley from Dolphin Free AZ. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks so much for joining us. We're talking about keeping the dolphins free, something so personally upsetting to me, something almost surreal that we would bring animals now. I'm going to have this visual, Anna, thank you so much, of dolphins being scooped up, put in containers that they have no business being in, and shipped through FedEx. It's awful to me. So joining me are Danielle Riley, organizer and advocate for Dolphin Free AZ, and Anna Kiley, science teacher and former dolphin trainer, also part of Dolphin Free AZ. So you two, to me, it's like one of the most real shows I have ever done. You are real people, not to say that my other guests have not been, but you're like women on the street, men and women on the street. You're my neighbors. You're my kid's science teacher. You're the person that lives, you know, on the corner that decided, enough, this is not good, and we are going to be inspired to act, and then you did it. So I'd like each of you to talk about how that journey began so that Dolphin Free AZ even exists. I don't think most people in my circle, which I think is very consciously living, even know about this issue.
Sure. This is Danielle. So it really began for me. It was Mother's Day weekend, and I won't forget it because my husband and I were away, and I was watching the news, and one of my mentors, who's, you know, currently my mentor, Courtney Vale, she's formerly with WDC, which is Whale Dolphin Conservation. She was on the news discussing the import of these dolphins and her concerns for them. And so we got home, I started researching her, got her phone number, and contacted her to see exactly what I could do to help aid in, you know, preventing this from happening in Arizona. And I already had, you know, some background with Rick O'Berry's Dolphin Project, following them and supporting them and getting some education. And so she kind of showed me the ropes and, you know, put together a lot of information for me to gather and kind of decide what I was going to do. And from there, it kind of was a coalition of community members that just were as equally concerned, that wanted to get together and put together Dolphin Free AZ. And so we have somebody that, you know, puts together our protests, somebody that does our media outreach, someone who does our, you know, Instagram, social media, Twitter. And then I kind of am in the background doing a lot of meetings with different officials and different businesses and organizations, trying to see exactly where we can go as a group and what we can do to prevent this from happening. Like we mentioned, you know, the Dolphinaris is going to open on October 15th. And so what our goal is to do is to inform the public and to stop the supply and demand. You know, education is so powerful, and I monitor, you know, our Facebook page as well as a couple of our, you know, my colleagues, and the responses that we get from the community are, you know, both sided. Some people, you know, have no idea why we are opposing the, you know, Swim with Dolphin program. Other people are gung-ho, and they want to be actively involved as well. So, as far as the, you know, community officials, I have reached out. We have reached out to Governor Doug Ducey. I did meet with the Arizona Office of Tourism a few weeks ago. And basically where we're at right now is we're waiting for a response. But the general message that we keep receiving from not only the governor's offices, but as well as different organizations, is that this is on Indian land. And so they have their own rules and regulations that they have to follow. And so we have to try to work our way around those, you know, what's set up for the Indian land. So we're kind of, you know, in a difficult spot. This by no means is a project that we expected would end, you know, in 30 days or a year from now. We believe that this will take several years for us to be able to inform the public, get into schools, provide packages for teachers to, you know, talk to children, because that's where it really begins. A lot of parents are well-intentioned. They want to take their children out and have them experience this, you know, beautiful, intelligent animal, and they don't understand the detriment caused by doing so. So if we can get into schools and districts and be able to educate the children, and then their parents come to them and say, hey, we're going to go to Dolphinaris this weekend, and the children are able to respond and say, well, actually, last week, you know, our teacher taught us this, and I really wouldn't enjoy
it. I don't want to go there.
Right.
I don't want to go there.
Exactly. That's where we are at, and that's my passion, is children, or our children, and being with them and educating the public and community and really trying to see a shift. I mean, we have local neighbors, you know, California, places that are stopping captivity, stopping breeding, and here we are bringing them into our state. This is a total regression. It's a total disappointment for me as somebody who lives in Arizona and also somebody who is formerly from California, and has been able to see these intelligent animals swim freely. I mean, I just took my daughter over the summer to go see dolphins swim in the ocean on a boat. And I understand that not everybody can do that, but I definitely want to be able to inform children that if you can't, you know, there are so many other ways to learn. And, you know, that's really my goal, is to just empower our community.
And are you doing this totally as a volunteer?
Yes, totally as a volunteer.
Well, there you go, everybody. I mean, this is someone that's turned their life over to Dolphin Free AZ, because I know to keep Facebook active and Twitter active and meet with people, you know, it's a full-time job. So you've taken it on to be a voice for the dolphins. Anna, what about you? I mean, you're an educator. You have the experience of having been a dolphin trainer. What was your, how did you connect with Danielle?
Well, actually, so I first learned of Dolphinaris because when I was in the industry, I, of course, was part of listservs, you know, that are sent to you about
right.
job openings or, you know, new research in this field. And so I got an email, this was several months ago, maybe even over a year ago now, and it was essentially looking for, it was a job opening for a position, an opening looking for animal trainers to join Dolphinaris. And then it said the location was Phoenix, Arizona. And I was like, what?
What?
And I had heard nothing about it, and I was in the industry. So it's to have absolutely no idea what this was even about. So I tried to do some more research. The only article available at the time was in Spanish, because Dolphinaris, the organization itself, is based in Mexico. And it just kind of crept up from there. And kind of like you said, it was almost like underground or snuck in. Nobody even knew it was happening. And so then I kind of started to research as much as I could, which led me pretty much nowhere, because there was no information made available to anyone. And then after someone went by and I kind of shared on Facebook with my feelings about this, then I got some messages from other people and some animal advocates, and became part of this Dolphin Free AZ movement, kind of in its early days. I was not one of the founding members, if you will, but I'm so honored to be part of their cause. And that's kind of how I got hooked up with Danielle, and we're so grateful to be able to join the show today and hopefully get some more get the conversation going.
I'm hoping to send the link when we send it to you to Grace Stratford, and maybe we'll reach deep down into the recesses of his mind, and he will have an awakening and realize that something is amiss here. We can pray for those miracles.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Gray Stafford commented on the condoning elephants in the circus and responding to Ringling Brothers' decision to pull their elephants from their circuses and put them in retirement sanctuaries. Gray Stafford said, "A picture in a book or an online nature video doesn't begin to have the same lasting impact on a person as experiencing a real living creature, even if it's at the circus."
With a chain around its ankle. Yeah, right. Yay for that. What elevated thinking. Let's talk for the time we have left in every way that we can, because the injection I want to put in this conversation is one of hope. In these 9 years of being Mrs. Green's world, I have seen miracles happen in areas where things have been stopped because enough voices were heard. The GMO issue, I think once it went down in California, people say, oh, so much about genetically modified food. Well, guess what? It's alive and well, and it's because people found their voice and said, I want to know what I eat. In your dreams, in my hopes, hundreds and thousands of people will listen to this show. One of the things they can do, I mean, it's so simple, people that are listening. I have wonderful people that are part of this tribe. Go to Dolphin Free AZ, and there are many steps. So talk about some of the steps. Let's get your Facebook page up to 10,000. Let's create some buzz about this, because it's people. We as a community can stop this. We're not the victims here. We have our voices, and let's help raise them. So why don't you both talk about simple things you can do? You've mentioned some of them, and I remember, so if you forget, we'll bring them up again.
Sure. So absolutely going to our Facebook page, you know, Dolphin Free AZ. We also have dolphinfreeaz.com, which is our website. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and then you know, obviously Facebook. And so one of the things that you can do that's so simple is go and see our petition that we have. Larice D, she put together a petition. It's a big no to captive dolphins in Arizona. If you Google that, it will come up, or you can go to our website and check it out. That's something that's simple. We hope to get that out to legislation and to basically show that people are opposing this entertainment factor in our community. You know, being able to come out to protests and to support us in that way so that we're able to show them how the public feels and the public concerns, that's always something that's great to do. And then also reaching out to any of the organizers, you know, me being one of them, you can email me at danielle@dolphinfreeaz.com. And, you know, I can help lead whatever, you know, passions that person has and what they feel that they could do. So there are different outlets, you know, and different ways that people can help, even from just sitting at home, you know, and making phone calls to legislation. And that's where I feel like our hope rests with legislation. We need to get them informed. We need to get them aware of what the public feels. And, you know, besides that, we basically just, you know, like I said, letting the community know what's happening and letting them weigh in, getting the media involved and letting the public see our side. And that's where we're hoping to go.
And you can sign a pledge. I mean, that's not hard to sign a pledge. Are there other national organizations or international organizations that are watching what you're doing and helping to support this? Because what happens to one dolphin happens to all of us. Talk about any other national support, because I would think some of the larger, more established organizations might be saying, hey, people, pay attention to this, because this is what we're here for.
So we have PETA on board with us. I just, you know, had phone calls with some of the representatives from their office in LA last week. And so they've been providing material for us, brochures, leaflets, different, you know, material that we need for our protesting. And then again, Rick O'Berry's Dolphin Project, they are a great organization. You can go onto their website. They have a pledge that you can take that you will not swim with dolphins. You will not buy a ticket to any dolphin attraction. And that's, you know, those two people we really rely on as far as informing and educating the public and kind of aiding us in where we want to go with our mission.
And if people are in and around the Southwest area, I mean, Phoenix does have, what is it now, 5-6 million people, something like that. Phoenix, Phoenicians, wake up. All you ASU fans, wake up, get on board. I do have to share with you both that, unfortunately for me, it makes me a little bit sad, we don't get a lot of comments on shows before they air, and we announce it in the newsletter, hopefully weeks and weeks before. I got an email that was posted on the Facebook page. I got a notice from WordPress that someone had a comment, and it just makes me happy. We work hard to get the word out, and it was from someone who I didn't know, which also makes me happy, that said, I'm really looking forward to this show. So hopefully this will help. I hope you'll put it on our on the website that you have, and that our active listeners will decide that this is one that we can make a difference. It's not bigger than we are. It is we are the change. So I hope that people will be able to do that. And let's give those... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying absolutely. And, you know, something that I wanted to bring up is, you know, I'm reading a fabulous book by Susan Casey, and she has a book called Voices in the Ocean, and it just came out in June. And, you know, just basically to touch on the fact that a lot of these people in the community who, you know, oppose us that say that they love dolphins, you know, I wanted to read an excerpt from her book that kind of touches on probably how I feel of these, you know, individuals. And I just thought I would read it.
Yes, so. Perfect.
Okay, great. So it says, people don't always concern themselves with the details, and they come to marine parks like this one and bring their children and plan vacations around dolphin captivity. And I would imagine that these people are well-intentioned and would insist that they absolutely cherish dolphins, even as the animals orbit their tiny teacup pools as endlessly as lost satellites. And that, to me, is so profound, because how can we say that we love these animals and that we want to be with them, but yet it's at the expense of their lives for 1 hour, for 45 minutes, actually, is what I think it's listed on Dolphinera's website. And so if we love something, don't we want to set it free? Don't we want to take care of it and nurture and, you know, do whatever we can to protect? This seems so opposite of what, you know, I'm hearing. And I just hope that people will take the time to really educate themselves, to go to our website, to go to Rick O'Berry's Dolphin Project, to really get an idea before you make your decision to purchase a ticket or to, you know, be a part of anything with captive animals.
Please, please, please don't go there. It's like, and you take it another level. You go to dolphinfreeaz.com, and there's an opportunity for you to sign the pledge right there. It cannot take more than 20 seconds. There's all of the social media that you're doing. There's a sign the petition. And Care To, that website, has gotten so many important things, national attention. So take initiative. And I don't think I've ever done a show in 9 years where I just want to go pleading to our listeners, you can be a part of making a difference. We need thousands of people to stand up and be counted and let our voices be heard to keep the dolphins free. Who doesn't love a dolphin? And if you don't, I don't want to know you, or don't share that with me. It's that simple. So the websites, everybody, just to reiterate, as soon as you're off the show, as soon as you stop listening to the podcast, go to dolphinfreeaz.com, or if you're on Facebook, dolphinfreeaz, Twitter, Dolphin Free AZ, Instagram, Dolphin Free AZ. And there are a lot of great hashtags. You make it easy. And I'm going to be doing all of it. I'm going to be inviting Mrs. Green's World team members to do it. and make a difference. And it was just an honor and privilege to spend this hour with you, and I hope we'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. November 15th, my friend Christina Palsgrove from Environmental Services talking about holiday waste, and Lauren Singer, can't wait to have her on, founder of Trash is for Tossers. Make it a great green week, and let's help keep the dolphins free, everybody. Thanks for being a part of my world.